I invite your attention to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from verse 26 through verse 33 of this particular chapter. And in this chapter, we have the record of three men dying. I want to look into that subject for a few moments and encourage you and inform you if I can. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's my privilege to pray again and ask your blessing in every heart and life. Pray you'll bless the word to our hearts as we read this particular passage and bring this message, and we trust that we'll glorify Jesus Christ our Lord. For we pray in his precious name. Amen. Verse 26, as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now, if we would go back just a little bit in this particular book that we've just read from, we would read of the fact that one of these thieves railed on Jesus Christ. For whatever reason, the heart of man's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And sometimes men do foolish things. I've seen folks on their deathbed, and they blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's a very foolish thing. But one of those thieves railed on the Lord that day, along with the crowd that was down around the foot of the cross. Apparently there was a mixed group of male and female, and the women apparently began to mock him and to cry out and even to lament and bewail and carry on with regard to his death. But he said to them, Don't weep for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew where he was going to go. On the other hand, there are some folks that day that did not know. These particular two thieves were to be crucified. Now, whether this be the case or not, a Roman soldier had right by law to demand of somebody that they carry their luggage for a mile. This is why the Lord said, if they ask you to go a mile, go two. Well, it so happens that Simon of Cyrene was present at the time, and he bore the cross behind Jesus Christ. It very well may have been because of the Roman soldier and the demand that was placed upon this man, and the law could have been exercised. We don't know. But we do know that Simon was called upon to bear the cross after Jesus Christ. Of the three that are there, there's something that each one would teach us today. Three men are going to die that day. It apparently was not the case like it is today to make appeal after appeal after appeal. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you that the court of law is open in our society, and there are opportunities to appeal to the courts, a second, third, and even right up to the point of execution. In fact, even there have been a few pardons that have been given after the decease of a person. I don't know what good that's supposed to do you. You're still just as dead. But apparently the Romans did not look at things like maybe we look at things. Whenever the execution started, it was carried out. And these three were taken to Calvary's brow that day, which is a place, and that is called the place of the skull. For whatever reason, some think it was because it looked like a skull. The other view is that it is a place of execution, therefore, would be recognized as that place. But that day, there are three men that are going to die. And one will die in sin, one will die to sin, and one will die for sin. And I want to look into these particular people today and let it speak to our hearts. Let's first of all take a look at the unrepentant thief. And he is the one that died in his sin. We'll look in another place and another story to begin to get the picture of what it means to die unprepared or unrepentant. Back in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, there is a story that is told. The story starts in verse 18 and goes on through verse 31. The Bible said in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate, or at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And so that you'll understand, they did not believe Moses and the prophets. Because one did rise from the dead, and they ignored him, by and large. Even crying out, we'll not have this man to rule over us. Now, the Bible teaches us here that there were two men, and both are men. Not talking about being male as such, but it so happens that there's two men. One's a beggar, the other is a rich man. And whenever you read that statement, he fared sumptuously every day. There was not a day of lack that came his way. Now, I've seen some lean days in my life, just as you have. Seen some lean days. But this man didn't see lean days. He fared sumptuously every day. That idea of sumptuously is that he's doing very well. He had adequate for the immediate circumstances and apparently even a long-range plan in mind. But the Bible tells us that there was a beggar also at the gate, laid there every day, Didn't ask a lot. He just asked to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Well, that's not asking a whole lot. Truth is that a lot of folks that throw away more food than we'll have available to us in our lifetime and in our day. But this man fared sumptuously every day. The Bible tells us that the beggar that was laid at the gate died. Vast difference between the two. Angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom. And certainly any Jewish person would have understood it was talking about paradise and a place of bliss. But then the tragedy struck. For the Bible said the rich man also died. And you'll notice that the Bible said he was buried. Now, if that's all that you could say about a man, that he died and was buried, that's sad. But that's about all you could say about him. Wasn't anything else to say. His life had not counted for God. Truth is, probably God wasn't even a major part of his life, if any part at all. This particular man died and was buried. I wouldn't be surprised if I could go back to that hour and I'd see a fine monument raised up in his honor. Have you not seen such? Where that a person died and they raised a great monument to him. I saw one monument that meant a great deal to me. It was on a tomb that was old. There was a frontier doctor, MD. Whenever he died, it was still in the day whenever they would put concrete on top of the grave. And somebody had inscribed in that concrete, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death." And I thought, my, what a testimony. I found out some years later that he was an old frontier doctor and spent his life trying to help folks. So he did have some testimony, but this rich man likely had his monument, but it meant absolutely nothing at this particular moment. The Bible tells us just a few things in the text that we've read this morning about this rich man. First of all, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. To have the opportunity of life and to live and to say no to God. The Bible calls that kind of a man a fool. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The second thing is that there was a great gulf fixed. Do you realize today that a man cannot get out of hell? Now, I believe that Man will come out of hell briefly at the great white throne. For John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books are open. And they're judged out of the things that are written in the book. I think probably the Bible will be one of the books that's there. And man will be judged by the Word of God. But beyond that, there is a complete record of a person's life. And this man knew his circumstance. He was told that there was a great gulf fixed. There wasn't any crossing over. There wasn't any coming back. And anybody that believes that there's a second and a third chance, they've missed what the Scriptures teach. But there is a great gulf fixed. For this man, all of a sudden, shows an interest in the souls of his brother. And he said, somebody needs to come back from the grave and tell them not to come to this place of torment. So we see then that it is a place of torment. But they had Moses and the prophets. And they did not listen. But I think one of the saddest statements that is made in the text that we've read this morning is, son, remember. Son, remember. Most of us, even though unsaved, have crossed paths with the Word of God somewhere. Do you think you'll forget that message that you heard that day? I think not. Because in the text that we've read, this man remembers. He did remember his five brothers and that home that he was raised in. Now, what kind of home, I don't know. We're not privy to that particular information. But you can rest assured that where he is now is not a good place, because it speaks of Lazarus, his desires, and the man said, send him to my brothers that they come not to this place of torment. So we see then that hell is a place of remembrance. It is a calling to mind at the very best that person has crossed paths with a message somewhere from the Word of God. But we move our focus from this unrepentant thief to the other thief. And he's an interesting person, I think. Whatever reason, and that's only in God's providence, he recognized in Jesus Christ that he was different than anybody he'd ever run across before in his life. Was that not true in your own life when the Lord saved you? I never met anybody like Jesus Christ. Thank God today that I'm privileged to know him. But he said to him, Lord, remember. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And just a simple statement, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You talk about opposites here. You talk about contrast between these two. Not even yet considering the third person. But these two, as men, are considered, and they're quite a contrast. Quite a bit of difference. But one of them's in a place of bliss, according to Father Abraham. And the other's in a place of torment. I want to go to the third person before our time is gone this morning. There was a repentant thief, and then that third man. One died in sin, one died to sin. You see, that's really what happened to the repentant thief, because the Bible teaches that to the saints of God, sin's not imputed to us. Don't ask me to explain why God would be so gracious. We'll just simply state the fact and go on this morning. But that third person will die for sin. I wish I had time to build the case and to present this glorious person. The best I could do would be to refer you to the earlier chapters of the book that we read from this morning and point out to you that God sent Gabriel to converse with Mary, and she was told that she was chosen of God and highly favored. And that's true. I mean, you can't fault her there. Somebody asked one time, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference really is that Jesus Christ is God robed in the flesh of a man. For Mary was told, you'll conceive, you'll bear a son, and he'll be called the Son of God. Now, he's the one who will die for sin. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he talked about a saving gospel, really, that he had preached there. He said, if you'll just keep this in mind, if you don't forget it, and a lot of folks do that, they hear it, they just walk away and forget it. But he said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that's the saving gospel today. Not only was he nailed to a cross, not only would he die for sin, but they took him down and buried him. Don't you know that there was rejoicing and gladness that day, and they thought, we're through with him, finally. But on the third day, he came forth from the grave. And the one that had died on the cross, now buried, came forth from the grave. Made himself known sufficiently to a number of witnesses. The Bible said he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time. That's a pretty good crowd. You ought to find a measure of truth out of that 500. But the truth is that Jesus Christ was not held in that particular tomb. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, spoke of the grave that couldn't hold him. Said David's body is still around, but that of Jesus Christ is not around. Now, there's a cult today that said, oh, his body's still here. His bones are somewhere. But that's not the case. He arose, and he'll save today. I hope I've encouraged you just a little bit to take a real honest look at Jesus Christ.